some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a fresh new week of Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and tonight we're going to have a fantastic guest co-host. Mr. John Cooperman is coming back to the show. He's been gone for a couple of months because, you know, he had a J-O-B apostrophe S that paid him a lot of money to go do these web series and touring with his comic, stuff all around the world. So we're going to hear from John in just a couple of minutes. And I am so excited, in all seriousness, I'm thrilled to have him back. He has so many different insights on different topics of current events, and it is a treat to have a man of his talent and caliber to be on the show. So we'll be welcoming John in just a second. I want to talk real quick, and we'll ask John his thoughts about this, the new Facebook hoax that's going around that you have to post this stupid-ass, you know, I forbid Facebook under the penalty of law and all of this. I think it's the most dumb thing I've ever heard. It's like, you know, the first time I saw this like 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I fell for it like everybody else. And now everybody's falling for it again like lemmings leaping off a cliff. It's caused me to take a little bit of a breath and stand back for just a minute and tell everybody that I have my official position on this. And if you want to see what it is, you have to go to my Facebook page and check it out. Because it starts out with better safe than sorry is right, much like many of the Facebook posts that you see. But mine has different text. So I need you to go and read that and let me know what you think. I think it is absolutely for the best. Without further ado, though, as I love to say, I want to welcome Funnyman John Cooperman back to the show. And in the show blog, I will tell everybody for the show on Facebook, I did a video today, and it says, John Cooperman, insanely funny comic. He told me to say this, but he didn't really tell me to say that. But I like to put that because I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, Garrett. That was a good one.
Kind of funny. I've missed you. Thanks for coming back.
I've missed you too. When I walk the streets of LA and everything, I get tapped on my shoulder and they say, why aren't you on the show anymore? I miss Rated G Radio. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry, who are you? And then I walk away from them. But
right.
You know,
yeah.
It's okay though. I'm so happy to be back. I've missed you so much. I've been seeing what's been happening with you over the past several months with your CD. It's very exciting. I've seen your videos. Just really wonderful, Garrett. What's going on with you right now?
Well, it's fun. You know, in all seriousness, I think one of the things that I really like about the show, not only do I get to have a great time every night meeting and talking to different people all the time, but when we get people of John's stature on the show, and we get people like Tamara Rotunda Alda, she's going to be promoting her book, you know, Mommy Dearest Diary, you know, she played Carrie Ann in the movie, for, you know, goodness sake. You know, you have the bar raised by the quality of people that you surround yourself with, and I think it helps me want to do more things, better things, different things when I have people like John on the show, or I have authors of notoriety that are on the show, and it helps me want to do other things in life that I've only ever had on a bucket list. So in all seriousness, before we start having some fun, I really thank you, John, because, you know, you come on and you inspire me creatively differently than really most of my other guests do. So having you here really is a treat and an honor for me, because it's you bring something to the show that my other guests don't. Not that they're not funny, but, you know, you have a special way about yourself that I really just admire, and I'm grateful for, you know, you taking time out of your schedule. So Mutual Admiration Society is now in session. I'm banging the gavel now.
You are kissing my butt, and I like it, Garrett. You know, it's very nice.
Okay, here we go.
It's very nice. I'm not used to that. You know, at home, it's just like, what's for dinner? I'm like, I thought you were cooking. She goes, no, you cook, you jerk. And then she walks out of the room. That's what I'm used to, Garrett. I'm not used to this stuff. Wow, this is very nice. And I have to say, it's been, you know, like, I've missed you over the past several months. But like you said, I was working a lot. And I know when I was on with you last time, I had someone who was on my show with
yes.
us on for as well. She's not working there anymore. I'm not working there anymore. The show is no longer on, but we're hoping it returns. So you know, we'll see what happens. And then, of course, like you said, my shows and stand up and everything. I've been writing a lot. I've been around the world about 6 or 7 times since I last was on the phone with you.
Right.
So yeah, it's been fun. But
Is the show that you're working on, is it one of those that can come back? Was it like a limited edition series, like a lot of shows are, or what was the premise?
You remember the premise, Battlecam. Battlecam was the name of
yeah.
it, and we just got these weirdos who came on the show and they did weird things like light their eyebrows on fire and all that stuff. And at the end, we would pick out which one was the best, let them have an iPhone or something like that. So, you know, it was exciting, but I guess it got a little bit old. And the owners said, we're going to hold off for a little while. And we're like, okay, but what about work? And he's like, oh, well, you're going to have to go look for it. And we're like, oh, well, okay. So, but he says it could return. So we're all hoping it returns at some point. But until then, of course, I've been working a lot, like my shows, the comedy and what have you. So there's a lot, hopefully, in the works happening with me right now. And hopefully something more exciting will happen by the end of this year. And then when we launch into the new year, I'm hoping a lot more exciting things happen. I'm hoping I'm on the show more with you in the next year, of course, and you know, shooting the you know what. I'm not going to swear on this rape show, Garrett.
You're going to be shooting the babies? No.
What was that, Garrett? I mean, all
I don't know. I just like
trying
to
compliment you. Now you're talking about shooting babies.
Okay. So I was telling John right before the show that one of the things that has been really spectacular this year is the quality of guests is fantastic. We have a lot of recurring characters that come every month and are on the show. We have a lot of new people that are coming onto the show. And I have been fortunate this weekend to make a quick count on the calendar of what's going on. And I have really about 4 shows left to book for the entire rest of 2015. That's how far in advance we're booking. I'm booking all the way up until December 18th. That's the last show of the year. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off, regroup for 2016, but everything else is booked. So we're only going to have John back one other time before the end of the year. That's going to be Monday, October 19th. So we'll have him back in about 3 weeks. So, you know, between October 20th and January 1st, you guys are just going to be kind of SOL on John Cooperman. So you'll have to go to his website and go see him play at the Ice House in Pasadena and wherever else he's playing. But do you have any dates that are coming up, John, that I should be, you know, promoting the heck out of for you?
The one I have is October 16th at the Ice House, 8:00.
Cool.
And my friend now, she produces a show in Westlake Village out here in California. It's at a winery. It's called Altabella Winery. I think it's in Westlake Village, and it's a beautiful winery. And my friend Maria, she runs a show there twice a month, and I'm always in her shows. She's always nice enough to have me there. And it's a beautiful winery. So if you guys want wine and laughs, or laughs and wine, if you just want to have some wine and leave, you know, I think this place is the way to go. So, and that's Westlake Village.
We have to do that. That will be fun. Hey,
real
quick shout-outs to a couple of people who are tuning in. Mark and Tony out of Hackensack, New Jersey are tuning in.
Yeah.
They just pinged me right before the show, so I wanted to give a quick shout-out to them just first and foremost. But, hey, I got a question for you. You know, it's been a while since you've been on, like we were talking about before. There was a comedian on America's Got Talent. His name was, I think, Drew Lynch, and he came in second
place. Right.
And what's your take on him and his stutter?
Well, you're just putting me right under the fire there.
I am.
Garrett. In case your audience is not aware, I do have a bit of a stutter. It's not major, but sometimes it can be. And a lot of my friends were asking me, what do you think of this kid who's on America's Got Talent, Drew Lynch? And I'm like, he's a nice kid. We've done actually some shows with each other. Very nice kid. I don't know if you've seen any of his video, Garrett.
I have seen one of the shows on the America's Got Talent, but I didn't see the final mm-hmm. performance. So, yeah, nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he has an unusual stutter. Which is a hard word for us to say, ironically. Isn't that funny, Garrett?
It is.
Stutter. It's a hard word to say. It's like a diabetic trying to say sugar, you know. That's
right.
Hard for them as well. But, yeah, you know, I'm always asked, so what do you think? It's an unusual stutter that he has. He was hit in the throat with a softball, and he hit his head and had some kind of a traumatic experience. And with me, I've had it since I can remember. Mine's not as severe, but it can be. His is always very severe, and I don't know if you heard it. You said you watched it, but he talks like this, and all that. So it's got to be extremely hard for him, because apparently he was like a singer, and he wanted to be an actor before this accident happened. And, you know, but I guess it happened for him when he was like 17 or 18, it happened. So he's making the most of it, and I'm rooting him on, you know, and everyone says it's quite an unusual stutter. And yeah, it is. It's really unusual. I've never heard anything like it. I mean, I just feel for the kid. But for him to come in second on America's Got Talent and to bring
a pretty awesome
like that, yeah, I mean, it's really neat. When I tried out on the show a couple years ago, I made it past one of the producers, and then I got to another one, and I guess they didn't like me. They said, we like your stutter, but not you, if you can lead, please. And I'm like, well, I can make it worse or better for you. But no, but it was an experience. I wish I made it a little bit more. But now, here's the thing. I'm a little bit pigeonholed. It's like, whenever I do a show, it's like, oh, hey, do you know Drew? I'm like, yeah, I know Drew. Oh, but you're not as bad as him. You're stutter. Are you only doing this because of him? I'm like, I've been in this for like 9 years.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, I've been in it for 9 years, and he's been in it a couple years, and now he's, you know, he's probably going to make millions of dollars, and, you know, he's going to wave from me, like, from far away. Although I must say, when I last saw him, which was about a month ago, I saw him at the Ice House, actually. When I last saw him, I said, you know, we're rooting you on America's Got Talent. And I said, when you get your sitcom, Drew, you have to make sure I play your dad. There's just no way around it. I got to be
right.
His dad.
That would be great.
You know, I'll have a stutter. He'll have a stutter. It can be hereditary in the show. Oh, the laughs would ensue like crazy. There would be sore knees everywhere in the, you know, like in the world, because everyone would be slapping it, you know, because they'd be laughing so hard, Garrett.
Well, I'm glad you said knee. But I will tell
you
that is going to be an episode, you know, that will last 7 seasons. So I think that's a great idea. So we need to make sure.
You know, yeah, and was that a smart-ass thing you were saying? Like, it's going to be 7 seasons because it's going to be hard for us to say words together? Like, it'll last,
but
it'll seem seasons?
I'm
is that what you meant, Garrett?
I am not saying anything. All I'm saying is that's a recipe for success. You get two people that can make this funny, and, you know, then you always have the boy meets girl, boy loses girl scenario. You get, what, seven stories that can be told over and over and over, and that's
right.
Apparently we have in life. And you put a great spin on this with a father and son stuttering duo or team, and there you
yes.
go.
And if anyone has, if anyone wants to phone in and ask a question, I always love to hear from your viewers, Garrett. So if anyone ever wants to call in.
I forget that, you know, because I get on the phone with my guests, or in this case, you here tonight, John, and I forget that, you know, we do offer to, you know, visit with folks. So if anybody wants to call in, it's 323-657-1493. That is the hotline. I have several people that have called in, but I don't answer, I don't just randomly go to the phone lines. You actually have to press one on your keypad, because otherwise we just have people that call in from their phone because that's convenient for them and they just want to listen. So when I did the show.
Oh, I see.
And I,
When
I didn't know that that was the case, because, you know, sometimes the blonde actually is down to the root, I would just go and say, okay, caller, you know, and they're like, I just called to listen. I didn't call to talk. And so, and I'd go down to the next call, okay, caller, and they would do the same thing. I thought it was just like, you know, some kind of a, like a hoax or a, you know, a scam or something like this. And then somebody at Blog Talk says, no, you see that question their number, that means they've pressed the one. If they press one again, that question mark will go away. Let's test it out and I'll show you. And sure enough, that was
all right.
So everybody calls in, unless they press the one, they're just listening to the show. So that's just kind of how I leave it. So if you, if anybody who's dialed in now wants to, and I got about eight people that are lined up here on the board outside of John.
Right on.
If you press one, we'll take a call. Otherwise, we thank you for dialing in, because otherwise you're stuck listening computer, or, you know, at a later time, whatever the case may be. So anyway, well, good luck to Drew. I hope that it, you guys get a sitcom out of this and you run at least 7 years, or at least like into syndication, and you have a nice retirement.
You know, that's fine too. And I meant to tell you also that I've written a pilot my own self, and I'm currently shopping it around as well. So I'm hoping something positive happens with that as well. So,
okay. Now, and I'm going to be all serious here for just a second. I have a sitcom that's written as well, and I'm trying to figure out the process of shopping stuff. I've entered it into a couple of contests. I've got a web thing, you know, like a web pitch thing I've looked at. It's a little pricey for my budget right now, but it, it gets you either like 5, 10 or 15 different web Skype type of meetings to pitch, and I really like that versus, you know, spending the same amount of money driving all over, paying for gas and parking, and doing the exact same thing. But I think offline, you and I need to set up a lunch date, because number one, I want to hear about your show so it doesn't divulge anything that, you know, you can't. And I want to talk about mine, and then I'm going to pick your brain. I'll even buy lunch. And see, I'm committing to this on air. I'll buy lunch just to pick your brain. So that, I would really love that.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm always up for lunch as long as you pay.
Yeah, see, there we go. And, and I'm not talking, you know, any, I'm talking like Carl's Jr. 5 for $5.
No. No, I want the big time stuff.
McDonald's?
You know, I'm not a vegetarian, but, you know, I'll go for, you know, a good seafood restaurant, or, you know, I don't want to say the names of the restaurant on the air. I don't want them to get a free plug, but,
well, I'm
you
not
know, something.
Plug John Silver's for them either, or Red Lobster. I mean, that's just not in my nature to plug something I'm not going to get paid for. So
I don't mind.
Long Silver aren't going to be getting their mention here.
No, I would never mention Red Lobster. I like the biscuits at that place, whatever place we were talking about. I love those biscuits. Oh, my God. They're so good. They're mouth-watering.
Well, we'll figure out. But I really would like to do that. And plus, you know, it's funny. You know, John and I have we've done the show, I don't know, half a dozen times or something this past year. And I feel like I know John like, you know, a best friend type of a thing. And John and I have never met. We've only talked on the phone. I don't know. You know, we've talked on the phone outside of the show. But, you know, it's weird. I have great camaraderie with all the folks on here. But most of you, you know, that are out there think that, you know, we're John and I are sitting here together, or we're best friends or something like this in real life. I've never met the man. I'm just in awe of the superstar. So, yeah, it's time that we actually meet.
Yeah, and you said you were going to show up at one of my shows one of these days, too.
I know, and every time I always have them written down, and I always am talking the shows up. What happened last – well, okay, I'm going to have to go back and have to look at that. But there was, I had it down on my thing, and anyway. But you were like on my event board, so I need to make sure this happens. So we need to promote your events and all of the good stuff. Okay.
And one more thing,
Garrett.
One more thing.
Let
me ask you something.
Please.
One more thing. Let me ask you. When I saw your video today, the promotional video? You said you've been off the air for a couple of weeks. What have you been doing?
Well, I usually do a promo video every week. For the last 2 weeks,
right,
my Sundays have incorporated so much other stuff that and I try to do it down at the beach or down at the pier or somewhere around the neighborhood. So it has something visually exciting in the background versus just, you know, my Rated G radio sign. So I haven't done the promo shows for the last couple of weeks where I go and film like a five-minute video. I've still been doing the radio show five nights a week, so that hasn't gone anywhere. But just the promo on Sundays. It's been one of those things, and I love to do it, and if I can get people around, you know, that are like walking by, I try to rope them in and, you know, say hi to everybody in America and, you know, see if they'll join in. Sometimes they will.
And when you had something up on your Facebook page, you had a picture of George Michael. It was just there randomly when you were talking about music. What was the deal with that, Garrett?
Okay, so that was my post yesterday.
Yeah.
I know the listener is going, this is so fascinating. I can't believe they're talking about day-old Facebook posts, but here we go. So yesterday I did a countdown on my calendar of how many shows I had left for the entire year. At that time I had 27. I'm down to 6 right now. And so I said, the countdown's on for the rest of the year for Rated G Radio. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun, you know, because, you know, everybody who posts a post and it has like a picture on it, that's more likely to get read or have attention to it. And I'd already posted a picture of the dogs earlier in the day, so there was my gratuitous picture of the dogs. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do something that's a little fun. You know, who would I really like to have as my superstar guest? Well, you know, somebody that John Cooperman has met, I have not, but Mr. George Michael. So I went and found a picture of George Michael and just put that on as the picture for the post.
Well,
with you in mind, you know, I almost wanted to put
with me in mind, of course, yes. Yes.
So that
we love George.
I love George. I don't know if I'd like him. You know, it's one of those things, you know, you have these idols that you have, you know, always wanted to meet and hang out with and be best friends with, and then you meet him and go like, oh, okay, well, the grill is gone.
Yeah, well, he was nice enough when I met him. He was very nice. But it was only 4 minutes, and I snapped a picture. Yeah, it was only for a minute. I snapped a picture with him, and then literally, I'm not making this up, Sharon Stone shoved me away. Sharon Stone wanted a piece of the Jorge Miguel, and she pushed me out of the way after I was shaking his hand, saying, it was nice meeting you. And I was like saying this long spiel and shaking his hand at the same time, Garrett, that it almost looked like we were holding hands. I was shaking his hand for so long. I'm like, you know, I just want to say I'm such a big fan, and I'm shaking with each little one thing I say. I'm like shaking. And it got a little bit awkward. I thought for a while, I've been shaking this man's hand for at least a minute or two.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, so. But anyway, and then Sharon had enough. She was literally pushing me out of the way. I'm like, hey, all right, I'm leaving. I know what happened to your husband and the snake and the big toe. You know, I'm getting out of here. So, you know, it was a pleasure to meet him. He was really nice, really nice guy. And Sharon, well, let's just
say
I hope I see her on the
show. I'm sure that to meet Sharon Stone as well, but you're not saying that, so I hear what you're not saying.
No, if I ever see her again, I'll say, hey, do you remember me? And she'll go, no. And I'll say, oh, that's because you pushed me out of the way, Sharon. You pushed me. You know, if I run into her in a restaurant, I'm dropping the bill off with Sharon. And even
right.
if she does the whole, like, leg thing, crossing thing, I'll be like, that's not going to work anymore. You're paying my bill. And I'm
You're
walking away.
And that's even
she's
at Arby's 5 for 5. So there we go. Okay. Hey
if she's at Arby's, that's great.
We should talk sports. Well,
yes, we should. Are you a big baseball fan?
I love my Arizona Diamondbacks with Randy Johnson as the pitcher, and I'm turning the calendar back at least 10 years.
That was like 2001, Garrett.
I told you. Yeah. My dad, you know, watches the Diamondbacks, and, you know, he says, well, the Snakes lost again. And I just said, well, bring Randy Johnson back. What's wrong with Randy Johnson? And Garrett, he hasn't played baseball for like 15 years. You need to stop using that reference. But I like playoffs. Playoffs to me make sense. I can do that. Who do you like in baseball?
I'm a big New York Mets fan, and they just made the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. And I am so excited. I don't know how to control myself. I don't know what to do with myself. The last time they made the playoffs, I was sucking on a bottle of milk and, you know, wanting to be spanked. That was the last time the Mets were in the playoffs.
Holy cow. Well, now, how much Mets memorabilia do you have?
Actually, in the garage, I have a bunch of pennants.
Okay.
I have a bunch of pennants. I have a Mets fan parking sign. And I have an autographed pair of underwear from Mike Piazza. So,
nice. Okay, so I have to ask you, because the question is just begging itself. Did he give those to you voluntarily, or was that a court order?
No, it wasn't a court order. It was Meet the Met Day, and I just went there in my tidy-whities, and I said, hey, would you mind signing my panties? And he started laughing, and I pulled down my pants, and no, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. And he's like,
yeah, I'll sign it. You know, I bet he signed a bunch of boobs. He signed boobs, I'm sure. He signed everything.
Oh, sure.
I want one of these days, Garrett, and I'm not being sick or weird, right? Because with women, oh, sign my boob. Oh, it's sexy. It's hot. When's someone going to sign my balls? I want someone to sign my balls. I will
texture,
manscape or wax them.
Okay, but even that, I think the texture of a breast may be different than the texture of, you know, the boys.
Well, you haven't seen my balls, Garrett. I'm just kidding. But, no, I mean, if you hold your ball a certain way, they can Sharpie over that. That's not a big deal.
Okay, I'd probably rather sign your ass than try to sign. That would be easier. You know, and
oh,
I can
gosh.
Do a lot now, of stuff.
Yeah. All right, men's asses,
including
I'm
the middle
sure
name. And, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the Mets. Yeah. So why do you think the Mets have gotten into the playoffs this year? Besides the fact that they won more games than they lost. Are there certain players, or I mean, is there a certain strategy?
Pitching.
Okay.
Pitchers. You know, the pitching they have is incredible. Starting pitching. Not as good as Randy Johnson, of course, but the pitching's really good this year. They have a bunch of new young players mixed with old veterans and all that stuff, but I'm just really looking forward to the playoffs, and they're actually going to play the Dodgers in the playoffs, and I'm hoping to get a ticket to see the Mets and the Dodgers. So if any of your listeners have an extra ticket they want to let me have, I will perform a personal comedy show in their home. I'll be wearing any of their clothing, whatever it takes to get a ticket to see the game. You know, if a caller calls in now, just let me know. Run by the details, and we'll work something out. It's all for charity. As far as the charity, it will be me. And
the John Cooperman Foundation.
It's the John Cooperman Fund, and yeah. So let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. 336-577-1493 is the hotline, and that is to give John Cooperman the thrill of a lifetime, letting him see a Mets game here for the playoffs. So let's make that happen, folks. Hey, while we're sitting here chatting, before I forget, we actually do commercials here now on the show, so I'm trying to figure out where I stuck them. Yeah, I've got like sponsors and stuff that I
absolutely love.
And
why don't you run one now, Garrett?
I'm going to, but I'm trying to figure out where I put them, because I reorganized all of my stuff so I could easily find it over the weekend. I think it's going to be here. Here is a commercial from our friends at Rainbow Brew. This is, now, it sounds silly when I tell you this, but their coffee is really, really good. I'm going to play the commercial in just a second. But the company is based out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. They get their own coffee beans in the freezing tundra of Minneapolis, and then, you know, either ground it up for you or ship out the beans from there, and they've got all these different flavors. But this is a little I do two things, so it takes, I'm telling all the people, they're just like, press the button, Garrett. Okay, we're going to press the button. I'm going to press the right back 30 button, and then we're going into Rainbow Brew. We'll be back with John Cooperman in just a second.
more Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
There we go. I've also got a new, I want to say like a strategic partnership, but I've got these people. They're called, well, the station is called It Matters Radio, and they do video shows that are the equivalent of what John and I are doing tonight. So I contacted them and said, I would love to be a guest on your show because I'm trying to figure out how to do Rated G Radio as Rated G TV type of a deal. And they said, well, come on the show. So I'm going to go on their show December 10th. But in the meantime, we've been working out dates to get them on, and it's a duo. So I get both hosts, Monica and Ken, and they're going to come on the show in late November. And they are sending over some promos in the meantime. So not tonight, but I'm just telling everybody, get ready because I'm going to play some fun. Well, their commercials are like 2 minutes. So I want to play their commercials later on, not tonight, but just giving you a preview that we're going to have some It Matters Radio cross promotion because they're going to host me and I'm going to host them. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to, you know, tell everybody that that's coming up. But anyway, so that's the baseball stuff. Should we
very cool ad
into,
by the way.
It was fun. They did a nice job. I just said send me an ad and I'll play it.
It sounded like it was from the 1950s too. I love it.
It's very cute.
I love that.
Yeah, I love it. So thank you, Rainbow Blue. We love you. How about if we dive into the exciting world of Hollywood? Because there's so much that's going on there right now.
It's a big mess.
You were talking about like dating and divorce and things like that. I mean, you know, I am always fond of, if I'm going to date, the dating age tends to be considerably younger than I am.
Yes. You know,
I know that that tends to be frowned upon when you're going from female to male, but I think there's a new power couple starting to brew in Hollywood. What do you know about this?
Kate Hudson and Nick Jonas? Are you serious? Kate Hudson?
Kid.
Yeah, Kate Hudson is apparently, well, I was reading an article about it. They say they're not really dating yet, but they've done the deed, if you know what I'm saying, Garrett.
I do know what you're saying.
Now, they were seen in Orlando, Florida. She saw Nick's show. And what's really troubling about this is that he actually had a show, Nick Jonas. I didn't think he did shows anymore.
Well, apparently he's got this hot little single that's out right now on iTunes that is just kind of blowing up the charts all over the place. So I think that is probably why he was able to get that gig at the Rotary.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard about him in a long time. Now, the Jonas... Now, we all remember the Jonas Brothers. I mean, they were the hottest. What
ever.
Was that? Not even in the 90s. That was probably like,
no, it was
90,
like a,
10.
Well, I think it was up until just like a couple of years ago. It was just when their big tour was getting ready to take off and the tickets weren't selling that they called it quits and everybody went on their separate ways. But yeah, new single is called Levels, and it's the one that's going crazy right now.
Yeah, he's only 23, and she's how old, Kate Hudson?
She has to be in her 30s.
Yeah, in her mid-30s. So
I would say like 36 or something like that.
Yeah, I think that. And so, I don't know, I guess he's milfing it up with her, I guess. I don't know. So
what is
the actual age
that it becomes milfing? Because if he's 23 and she's 36, is that milfing or is that just, I mean, technically, you know, it's 13 years older. Is that a milf at that point or is that more just like a bilf, a babysitter? I'd like to, you know, something like that.
Ooh, a bilf. I've never heard that. I am so out of it, Garrett.
I don't know. I just made that up on the fly because I knew that you were here.
I like it.
My game sharp.
I like it. I'm going to rip that off from you. A
please.
Bilf.
Yeah.
Babysitter, I'd like to cuckoo, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Is there such a thing, and is there a handbook out there that says that, you know, a lady becomes a MILF at this age when her suitor is this age?
I don't know. We should invent it. We should write a handbook on this.
And charge for it.
And charge. We can, oh my God, we got something here, Gary. We can make millions of dollars off the MILF handbook.
Well, Brandy in
Texas
on the Blog Talk chat room says, 35 and I have two kids. Please tell me I am not a MILF already. I do not accept that. So Brandy thinks that 35 is way too young to be a MILF.
No, I don't think so.
Brandy, can you chime in and type in a number on the Blog Talk chat room there? What number do you think a MILF should be? So if Nick Jonas
is
20,
what's the age of a MILF?
What is the age? I'm thinking it has to be like at least double. Wouldn't that be okay?
Yeah.
Like 46 or something. Yeah, 46. And Tony is telling me it's over 40. So
over 40.
I think
all right.
So, you know, she's you know, pre-MILF.
Pre-MILF. All right. She's learning about it.
It could be the silent P. So it just could be, we could still say it's MILF, but it's with the silent P.
Okay. So can we call her a cradle robber? No.
No, because he's 23, you know. He's been around the block.
He's been around the block. But, you know, at 23, you think you know everything. You think, you know, I know how to hit that spot. No, you don't. You're 23. You don't know how to hit any spots yet. In another 10 years, you'll know exactly where to put your hand and what spots to hit. Okay?
Exactly.
Nick?
So Brandy is telling us that in order to qualify as a MILF, you have to have at least teenage kids. I'm hoping that means more like 15, 16, 17, not like 13. But I suppose at that point, that's, you know, semantics.
Okay. Well, I think we should all have a conference about this off the air and write a book and sell it.
I like that. We're going to write the, and we can have the silent P on the copy of the book too. So that way, you know, we can get that covered. I think it's good. So I would be fascinated to see them out in public. That is not a duo that I would expect, because I thought Kate only dated like baseball players. So it'll be interesting to see if there's some type of spin that they're putting on it, whether or not it's, you know, for a movie that Kate's doing or something that Nick's doing. You know, because a lot of times celebrity couples, they're together for, you know, a project.
Now, she was married, I thought, and had a kid or two, no? Yeah, she's got a kid.
Oh, what's the one
she's
that was dating all the baseball players? Like A-Rod and stuff like that. I thought she was with, I think it's the Goldie Hawn's kid. Yeah, I think it's her.
It is Goldie's kid. Yeah. I think she went out with A-Rod.
Right.
And A-Rod also went out with Madonna.
Right.
And Madonna did a movie with Kevin Bacon. So there you go. There's the Kevin Bacon connection,
Absolutely. I love that. I love
Kevin Bacon.
Brandy gave us one more tidbit. She goes that you need to make sure that your kids are grossed out and you can laugh about being a MILF. So at least Brandy has perspective. So she's planning this like in another, you know, 10 or 15 years when our kids are older. Thank you, Brandy.
I like Brandy. Yeah. She knows.
Brandy's cool.
She knows
she's
what
on
she's
it.
She's doing, Brandy.
Yeah. But she's not a MILF yet. She's pre-MILF.
How's Mary Lou? Is she still around? Is she
Mary Lou's still
come
around?
On
Mary
anymore?
Lou. She is knocking it out of the park. Since you have been on last, Mary Lou has moved like 43 times. She's gone back to college or university, I guess is what they call it down in Brisbane or in Australia. She's now studying for TV journalism. So she's going to get a journalism degree, and she's got her own little, you know, I guess we call it Rated Oz Radio, starring Mary Lou Monroe on Facebook. So if you want to go like her on Facebook, you can do that. She's got several guests that have been booked you know, throughout the course of the year, including this past 2 weeks ago. She did a great job with Joseph Strider, who is a singer-songwriter out of, I think, Pennsylvania. And she's just got all kinds of things that are going on. So Mary Lou's regularly on the show and regularly has her own guests. And I just kind of sit back and let her, you know, do her thing. It's just a great thing to see. So Mary Lou's still around and doing amazing things as we speak.
Well, send her my best. I haven't heard from her at all. And hopefully, you know, she'll have me on her show one of these days. I'd be honored.
That would be fun. So let's figure out how to get that set up. So if it happens to be on this same Rated G radio network, we'll figure out how we're going to do
now,
this in 2016.
Now, is she a MILF, Mary Lou? Is she MILFy?
I would say I'm not going to discuss any particular age, but I would say that Mary Lou is in the 40 over category. But you know, I won't say by what number I think that might be, only because she's got kids of a certain age. So knowing that, I would say that probably worked, unless she had the kids when she was like 4. And I don't think probably
all
possible.
Right.
Yeah.
But
speaking of Australia, there is a girl in Australia that claims she was drugged by Justin Bieber and his crew at a listening party. So, John, what's going on there?
Well, I think the only way you can listen to his music for a long period of time is if you're drugged. You know what I'm saying, Garrett?
Oh, my gosh.
But apparently there was, like, surveillance video and all that stuff, and nobody mickeyed around with her drink. I think she had milk. No, I don't know. But, you know, Bieber says, "I never laid a hand on her." You know, and once again, I think we talked about this before in the past, Garrett. When you're such a big, big name, people will do whatever. Yeah. So, you know, when you socialize, even with somebody you just meet and you think they're so cool, especially if you're in the repertoire, like especially if you're a Bieber, I'm sorry, his bodyguards have got to make whomever he hangs out with sign something. I mean, there's just no question around it. The guy is worth billions at this point, or millions, and possibly soon the billions. He's got to watch his every move, you know?
So what do you think? I mean, have you run into people where, you know, you've hung – I mean, because let's face it, you know, you do hang around a certain crowd, and I mean that in the best possible light, that have a little bit of notoriety and celebrity to them. Do you find yourself in situations where you're in either rooms or parties with folks, and they say, you know, before you come in or before you leave, we need you to sign off?
I drug myself, usually.
So that makes it easier.
In a drink. So if anyone makes a move on me, I go, before you do anything, just know I roofied myself, and whatever happens, you know, is your fault, even though it's not. You know, and they usually look at me weird and move on, you know, to like a midget or something. But that's okay. You know, I'm there to have fun. And but in all seriousness, there are a lot of drugs in the comedy world. I do not take any. I know a lot of your listeners are going, "Hey, he's probably taking them right now." No, I'm not. I'm very aware. I have a little one at home. I have a little girl at home who means everything to me, and I would never put myself in a situation like that. So
good. Well, we want to keep you around for many years around. So I love that. So okay, speaking of, you know, famous people and shows that are, you know, just like hanging around all the time, we have a new era beginning tonight with The Daily Show.
That's right. We have The Daily Show coming.
Are you a fan of The Daily Show?
I was a fan of The Daily Show, you know, when it first was on with Kilbourn, you know, when he did it, Craig Kilbourn. And then after Kilbourn, of course, was Jon Stewart. And now we get a comedian from, I believe, South Africa. And he's going to give it a whim. I can't, you know, his name escapes me right now, but I know he's from South Africa. And he's a younger guy, and, you know, I hope the show will be successful. I'm sure it will, because the structure of the show is already there. The structure, the formula is already there. So it's just trying to get...
But then you have shows like The View, so it's not to, you know... you know, here's a show that can't fail, and you know, look at the last couple of years. So it's you know.
Well, the View.
Are you a late night TV watcher?
I am. What do you think of the new Late Show? What do you think of that?
I really like it.
You do?
Yes.
I do, too. I love Colbert. I love Colbert. I think he's great.
I think he's great. A lot of people were not impressed with him. And, you know, I think that they were probably expecting the Colbert Report on CBS, you know. And
right.
I think that, you know, when you go into the with that expectation, you're going to be disappointed or you're not going to be pleased because it's not exactly like the Colbert Report. Well, it's not that show now. You know, you've got something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think what he's doing is great.
Yeah, he does a little monologue right at the top, which really isn't even monologue-y. He doesn't
right.
do, like, straight monologue jokes at the top. He'll talk about something else, and then when the segment's over, he'll do a monologue type of joke, and then he'll move over to the desk and do something very similar that he did on his old show, which is really cool how that works out. And then he'll have somebody on, and then he'll bring on a guest. But, you know, I think he's amazing. He's an improver. You know, his last show was great. I never, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Strangers with Candy. Did you ever see Strangers with Candy?
I love Strangers with Candy.
One of the best shows ever. One of the best shows ever, and he was a part of that. And actually, that whole show... with him and Amy Sedaris.
Yeah, they're great.
Paul DeLino, who's also one of his head writers now at his show now, and the other guy, they were in an improv troupe with each other, and they made up that show.
Well, Strangers with Candy is just brilliant, you know, and
it's totally brilliant.
It's a shame that, you know, but you can't go back and turn back, you know, if we're sure to say, if I could turn back time, you know, but that's her with her walker. So,
right.
You want to talk about politics? Since we have so much to cover, but we've only got like 13 minutes left or 12 minutes left. I think it's time to talk some politics and really get some people stirred up tonight.
Are you into the Donald Trumpster?
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by our country's fascination with him, and his using his media personality to get everybody riled up. And I don't know how much he really thought about this before he decided to do this. But
right.
Now that he's in it, I think he's now having to start to get serious about things, and it's. I think this will be very interesting to watch as it unfolds over the next, you know, 6, 8, 9, 10 months.
You know, I think he joined it not knowing he'd be leading, and he's leading by such a substantial amount so far. I don't think he thought that he'd be leading like this, but now that he is. What's that?
I think he totally thought he would be leading at this point because I think he
really?
Had his well, you know, I didn't, you know, I didn't see the whole thing. I saw clips, so I can only take it for this. But he's like, you know, I know I'm doing the right thing because I don't need your money. I don't need your money to run for president. I can, you know, take care of all of this on my own, and I know this because I've sponsored everybody who's here on this panel to do what I've told them to do.
Well, that is the cool thing about Trump. He's not begging for money he's just going to spend his own money. And I think one of the big things wrong with politics now is they want all these donations so they can run these they spend millions of dollars as far as advertising and from city to city and stuff. He's doing all this with his own money.
Yep.
Now, yes, of course, he does have it. Of course, he has the money to spend. But knowing you don't need to spend on the campaign, that's huge.
Huge.
You know, he's like, I don't want your money. I'm here because I want to help America. Mm-hmm. You know, that's huge if you think about it. He's not asking for donations or political... I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Now, Brandy gives us a little counterpoint here. She says, I get what the American people see in him. The average American is frustrated that career politicians are leading our country, and they want something, one, new. But he is not the answer. So that's what Brandy thinks. So what do you – okay, so it, you know, in the Republican thing, we've got like 418 people running for the Republican nomination. We just had Scott Walker drop out. We just had Rick Perry drop out. Who do you think are going to be some of the next bowling pins to fall by the wayside?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, did you hear what Trump actually thinks that all these people will be in it a little bit longer because he's increasing the ratings with all the candidates. So they're actually being in it, I think, a little bit longer than they should because he's basically insulting all of them, so their name's in the limelight still. So they're like, oh, well, if he's insulting me, I'm not going to quit just yet. But it's funny, in a letter to CNN, Donald Trump said he increased the ratings because of him, Donald J. Trump. And in case you're wondering, the J stands for him, Jose. So who knew he was half Mexican? You know, he insults them, but who knew?
Trying to get the whole, you know, the whole demographic. Well, you know, it is funny because, you know, you take a look at the nominees, you know, for the party here, and you have Charlie Fiorina, who was really nowhere to be found after the first debate. She wasn't even invited to, like, the big table. And then, you know, Trump makes some stupid comment that had nothing to do with anything, and then all of a sudden she's the number two person. So, you know,
I think it's amazing.
It's the power of Trumpism that, oh, if I spar with Donald Trump during this debate, says Jeb Bush, then people will, you know, think I'm really whatever, you know, or if I can get Donald Trump to say my name, maybe I'll go up 3 points and I'll get some more PAC money.
That's right. I mean, he mentions your name, you got a shot. And it's really... It's entertaining. I mean, it's entertaining. Would we want him as president? I don't think so, but it's entertaining. Actually, there was a movie years ago with Robin Williams. He was a comedian, and he actually ran for president and won. I can't remember the movie.
I remember the movie, too. What was it?
I don't know.
It was good, too.
Yeah, and it's like he was a comedian, he was making fun of it, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to run. And he runs, and he wins. And then he was just like, what the hell am I doing now, you know? But it was a good movie. It was a good movie. I can't think of it right now. I guess it wasn't that good, if we can't think of it, but...
Well, you know, he had so many classics. So, you know, so if Robin Williams only made The World According to Garp, and, you know, like, whatever else, you know, he'd have like 5 minutes he could rattle off of our heads, but he made, you know, 50 movies, so
the legacy
goes on. Well, okay, let's just to give a little bit of equal time to equal drama, you know, why do you think that the email scandal will not leave Hillary Clinton alone?
You know what's funny about Hillary, and I love Hillary, you know, but Hillary Clinton, she formally apologized. I'm sure you saw this. She formally apologized for using her private email while she was the Secretary of State. But that's not all. I mean, she was more embarrassed because she still has a Hotmail account. So that's why she was upset. She's like, oh, God, they see I use Hotmail. That's right. Come on. You got to use AOL. Come on, let's upgrade there, Hill.
Well, you know, and but, I think that, you know, the one thing that I think is interesting here is that they're busting Hillary Clinton over using her private email, but yet Condoleezza Rice did it, Colin Powell did it, you know, other secretaries of state have done it. And it's just like, this is like, it's like the only thing they've got on her to throw into the news to, you know, have her have to waste her time talking about that versus anything else having to do with policy or growing up.
And Bernie Sanders, what do you think of that guy?
You know, he looks old, and that doesn't mean anything, but he looks old to me. So, you know, that's
everybody loves him.
Everybody loves him. I will tell you, I took a test online, you know, because anything that you do online or read online or say online is true. But I took this test weeks ago, and somebody posted it, and it asked you all these questions, and it wasn't trying to lean you one way or the other. It says, you know, who do you really, you know, taking the glitz and glam out of it, who do you really think that you should be voting for, you know, based on what your personal beliefs are? So they asked all these questions. You could answer, I strongly agree or disagree. You could get a subset of those questions to have more flavors of that type of thing. And at the end of the day, it said that I was 81% favoring Bernie Sanders based on what Bernie Sanders' policy, you know, history has been, and then, you know, it threw in a couple of Republicans, and, you know, down it went. But I was really shocked, because that was not an answer I was expecting to see, because I really haven't listened to him other than what I've read on Facebook or, you know, the quick soundbite here or there. I have to say, the little that I've heard, I'm quite impressed with.
I'm very impressed with everything he says, but he can't be that squeaky clean. I mean, everything that comes out of his mouth is perfect. It's perfect. So
it sounds great.
These.
Well, yeah. Now where is he from? From Vermont or something? I mean, that could be the reason.
Vermont,
that he's,
I believe.
You know,
that's correct.
That's probably the reason he's perfectly clean and squeaky clean. Because if he was from, like, you know, any other state, you know, let's just say California.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick on my home state here. I think that, you know, he would have, you know, his LSD affliction from the 60s, his swinger parties from, you know, the Mod Squad, and, you know, whatever else was going on at the time of the day. I don't think that probably any of that was taking place in Vermont. So he probably is the squeaky guy that he's, you know, professing.
Yeah. Can I tell you one joke before we go? I know we're running out of time.
I want at least one. So even if we go over, we can go over a little bit.
Okay. Queen Elizabeth, there you go.
Okay.
Queen Elizabeth II surpassed her great-great-grandmother, Victoria, to become the longest-serving monarch in England.
Wow.
This is in their history. Coincidentally, Larry King banged both of them, so there you go. See, I couldn't do it without my stutter. You get it? Because he's old. But see, now some people will go, oh, he stuttered on purpose. No. Some of those words are hard for me to say. Larry King and banged. That's hard. So Larry King banged them both.
Oh,
thank you very much. That's one of the jokes.
Okay. Well, with that, let's wrap up here. Do you have another? Can I ask you for another? I always hate it when people say, you know, tell me something funny. Tell me a joke. Okay, you know. Great.
I did the Hillary Clinton Hotmail one. I thought that was a good one. And I did the Donald J. Trump, where the
Jose
stands for Jose. Okay, I'll do one more joke. Are you ready for this, Jared?
Yes.
There's a zoo in... Oh, gosh. I think Arizona. There's an Arizona zoo that's releasing paintings actually drawn by a tiger, a cheetah, and an elephant or something like that. Experts say when these animals die, the paintings will still be worth nothing, absolutely nothing. So that's reassuring.
That is quite reassuring.
You didn't like that. You're not laughing, Garrett. I thought that was funny.
I think that's a very cerebral joke. I'm sitting here trying to get it.
Because when you paint something, when you sell it, it's not worth much. But when they die, it's worth a lot. I'm saying when the animals die, they're not going to be worth anything still. Ah, never mind, Garrett.
I like it. I mean, that's very philosophical.
It is.
I like. Okay, that's a smart man's joke. And I'm not smart, so that's okay.
Oh,
so
no,
I'm not
smart.
Well, I think you are. And with that, let's tell everybody where you're going to be again, because, again, you won't be back here until the 19th. You've got a gig coming up on the 16th?
Yes, but first, on the October 1st and 15th, I'll be at Aldabella. It's called Winery. It's in Westlake Village, Aldabella Winery. And if you say my name at the door, you get absolutely nothing. But that's okay. Say my name at the door, and, you know, I'll come up, and we can share some wine or something. And I'll be there.
Okay, it's on the 1st and the 15th. I'm making notes here. Do you know what time the shows are at?
They begin at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And if you try to talk to me before the show, I won't be very social because I'll be in the zone. So once I'm done with my set, I'll be a little more sociable. Not much, but a little.
A little bit. You know, we just get to take what we can get. You know, we can't.
That's right. When you meet me, you take what you can get and you appreciate it with a smile on your face. I'll take a picture with you. I'm not against that.
Will you smile in the picture?
It depends. If I am in a good mood, and I'm usually in a great mood, and if they say they came from your show, I'm going to be smiling from ear to ear.
Smiling ear to ear. Okay, so that's October 1st and the 15th. John's going to be at the Aldabella Winery, and showtime's 8 p.m. What? And then you said the 16th also, so you're going to be at the Ice House back on the 16th?
I'll be at the Ice House on Friday, October 16th. And I will
what
be there. My show's at 8 o'clock. Yeah, the show's at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a couple wonderful headliners on that show, not only myself, but we're going to have some good headliners and maybe a surprise. I'm not saying it now because that would ruin the surprise, but I may have a surprise comic in there, and it'd be a lot of fun. And if you do mention if we mention Rated G Radio at that, I will let you in at half off. That's not a problem. It's my show. I will let you in at half off if you mention it at the door.
That is very, very cool. So everybody, it's been Mr. John Cooperman, comic brilliance and insights aplenty tonight. It's a pleasure to have you back. Can't wait for our time again in October. And everybody go check him out on the 1st and the 15th at the Aldabella Winery. And we will see you live tomorrow night with... let's see here. I've got the book here. It's Rutanya Alda's The Mommy Dearest Diary. I've got to read it tonight, and I've got to read it tomorrow. I don't usually read until, like, the day of because I never remember anything. So I can't wait to dive into this tonight. John, it's been a pleasure. We'll see everybody later. Don't drive distracted. And thank you for being part of Rated G Radio.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.